Holy Spirit, would you take these words to speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. There was a husband who shared the following story. He said, "When our second child was on the way, my wife and I attended a pre-birth class aimed at couples who had already had at least one child. The instructor raised the issue of breaking the news to the elder child. It went like this. Some parents," she said, "tell the older child, 'We love you so much that we decided to bring another child into this family.' But think about that. Ladies, what if your husband came home one day and said, 'Honey, I love you so much I decided to bring home another wife.'" Immediately a woman spoke up and said, "Does she cook?" This isn't surprising considering how much of our lives really are centered around food. You may be thinking right now, "What am I going to eat when I leave here today?" Or you may be thinking, "I can't wait till we get up to the altar and have that meal together with the body and blood of Christ." When we eat our food, we love to eat good food. We love to eat food that is tasty, and sometimes in order to make it tasty, we have to have some sort of additive given to our food. Many times we like to put salt on our food. I know I like to put salt on my food. I even put salt on watermelons. Anybody ever do that? So anyway, salt is something that is really essential to our human lives. And certainly, Jesus uses the image of salt to illustrate something related to our lives. He said in our gospel lesson we just heard read, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it become salty again?" And so, salt had many usages in Bible times. Of course, it was used not only for flavoring, but it was also used on occasion to establish a covenant with someone else. It was used sometimes in various religious offerings and ceremonies. And so salt was very important to the ancient world. There were a number of usages of salt in the ancient world, one of which was where they would rub salt on a newborn baby in order to dry it out and to make its skin a little tighter and firmer. Salt was also used as a preservative. It was used to preserve food so that it would not spoil. And if you think about it, Jesus using the image of salt, we might interpret his words to mean, "You are the preservative of the earth." One writer said this, "The Christian must be the cleansing antiseptic in any society in which he happens to be. He must be the person who by his presence defeats corruption and makes it easier for others to be good, to preserve good, the good in our society and in our world," end quote. When I was in seminary, I lived in a house with three other guys. One of my roommates was one who had some problems, shall we say, and he was always doing things that would make us upset. One day I was studying, he decided he was going to turn up his music really loud. And so I went in and I said, "Hey Sam, you know, I'm trying to study here. Could you turn the music down?" And so he turned it down, and as soon as I left the room, he turned it back up again. So I went back into his room and said, "Sam, what's going on?" And eventually we got into a kind of a shouting match. He really didn't have my best interests at heart. He really was only focused pretty much on himself. Do you seek to try to bring out the best in other people? Do you seek to try to preserve honesty and conscientiousness and moral standards? A third way salt was used is normally the way we think of it, and that is as a flavoring agent, as a seasoning agent. Christianity is really supposed to add flavor to life. What do people taste when they encounter us? Do they see a joy? Do they see a positivity? Do they see a zeal for life when they look at us? A mother and her daughter were riding on a train, and as they were riding along, the daughter, who had never been on a train before, was noticing everything out the window, and she was pointing it out to her mother. "Mother, look, a horse! Look, mother, a house!" And she just went on and on and on like this, and finally the mother was embarrassed and apologized to the lady sitting next to her, saying, "You know, she's just going on and on about this. She still thinks everything is wonderful." Well, I wonder what it would be like if maybe that sort of attitude permeated our lives as we went out into the world. Even after Constantine made Christianity the state religion, the next emperor to come along was Julian. And Julian wanted to turn back the hands of time. He wanted to go back to the old way of worshiping. He wanted to worship many other gods the way they used to. And so as he did that, he really was doing that for a particular reason. And the reason, he said, was the way he viewed Christians. And Ibsen said this is how Julian viewed Christians. "Have you looked at these Christians closely? Hollow-eyed, pale-cheeked, flat-breasted all, they brood their lives away, unspurred by ambition. The sun shines on them, but they do not see it. The earth offers them its fullness, but they desire it not. All they desire is to renounce and to suffer, that they may come to die." According to Julian, Christianity was nothing but that which would take away all the vividness of life. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." Robert Louis Stevenson, recording something in his diary as if he was recording some extraordinary phenomenon, said this, "I have been to church today and am not depressed." We have an opportunity as Christians to be different. In a depressed world, we can bring a spark of joy. In a worried world, we can bring a sense of serenity. In a world full of fear, we can bring hope to others. In a world walking around in darkness, we can bring them the light of Jesus. When people are spiritually thirsty in the world, do they see evidence in us of the living water of Jesus Christ and his salvation? Salt doesn't call attention to itself, it simply enhances. The Bible does not say, "Taste and see that I am good," but taste and see that the Lord is good. One of the ways people can see that the Lord is good and see the saltiness in our lives is by us showing an interest in them, by finding out about them and showing a genuine care for them, showing them the love of Christ. And as we do that, that might open the door for us then to maybe ask some questions that could spur spiritual conversations and perhaps maybe even bring them to a discussion about Jesus Christ. I was talking to a guy one time, and he was telling me about how he was depressed because his wife had just left him. And we talked for a little while longer, and eventually I got around to asking him, "Have you talked to God about this?" And he said, "How can I believe in a God who ordains marriage and yet causes my wife to leave me?" And I suggested to him that maybe God didn't cause her to leave him, that God didn't even allow her to leave him. But instead, she chose to reject the uncontrolling love of God, and she chose to go her own way. We continued to talk, and soon he began to realize that maybe he was looking at things in a little different, in the wrong way, and he began to come around to maybe looking to Jesus to help him again. And so he began to pray and ask the Lord to help him in his life, and he prayed that if the Lord wouldn't restore his marriage, at least he would bless his wife. And so as he continued to pray, he, on the few opportunities that he had to reach out to her, he tried to be as loving as he could with her, and eventually the tide began to turn. She began to make motions like she was going to come back to him. And so eventually that began to work out in his life, all because he detected a little salt in me, and that made him thirsty for Jesus Christ and what Jesus could do for him. Rebecca Pippard, in her book, Out of the Salt Shaker, talks about an usher that I think was in her church. And this usher had ushered for many years. Everybody knew him. He knew everybody. And so he was ushering a particular woman down the aisle and put her in her pew and went back to the back. And he got distracted and looked off to one side and didn't see a young man come into the doors of the sanctuary. And this, as this young man came down the aisle, he had long hair that hadn't been washed in a while. He had dirty, ratty clothes. He was barefoot. And everybody was kind of aghast as they saw him walking down the aisle. And he walked all the way down to the front. And he sat down at the very front of the church, in front of the pulpit, and sat down with his legs crossed, just right there in front of where the preacher was going to be preaching. And so the usher went back and closed the doors of the sanctuary, and everybody wondered what he was going to say to this young man as he walked down the aisle. And he kind of walked slowly down toward this young man, and everybody was holding their breath, wondering what he was going to do when he got down to the front. And when he got down to the front, he took off his shoes and socks and sat down next to the young man for the rest of the service. That, my friends, is being salt and light as a Christian. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, what good is it except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot? You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be the salt of the earth. Lord, would you give us the power of your Holy Spirit to become even more salty for those around us so that they might be drawn closer to you and they might be willing to receive the message that we have to give to them about you. Lord, would you help us to remind everyone that just as we can't get to heaven by our own righteousness, unless our righteousness is that of the scribes and Pharisees, that we can't even get to heaven. But we can only get to heaven by virtue of your righteousness, the righteousness that you give to us as we put our faith in you. Lord, we have a great message to bring to others. But Lord, so often our human nature, our sinful condition gets in the way of that message. So Lord, would you help us to kind of step aside and allow your light to shine through us. Allow the salt within us to inspire thirstiness within a thirsty world walking around in darkness. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.